Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight, Thursday night, Black Sheep Radio. This is Tom D'Iadone, and filling in for the two greats, you know, Dave Wilkerson and Mr. Bob Granger. And I have the pleasure tonight to bring on our co-hosts from the morning show on Tuesday morning, Mr. Charlie Meltzner. Charlie, have you been on? Are you on?
I'm with you, pal. I'm on here. Excited to be here and ready to go.
I know we've got to
be a little careful tonight because we've got a little censor stuff going on. They're paying attention to what we're saying tonight. Apparently, we get a little too crazy and they want to keep an eye on us, is what I'm hearing.
Don't you hate when you're the rookie? You know, like I feel like we got called off the bench, right?
I know. It's rough. It's rough when they really just want to watch us.
I was never on the bench.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is going to be our night.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, so how's it going? How's everything? How's your week?
You know, besides the fact that I got 25, 30 boats in the water and it snowed, pretty darn good, you know?
It's still snowing up north. I don't understand you, Pete. I was in Connecticut, I think it was Monday, and it was 3 inches of snow on the ground. I saw
a beautiful view out of the window where you were, and it looked so nice up there. You were having a great day, but yet it was snowing, but it was still nice. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The weather is really out there right now, but not what you want to hear for a marina, that's for sure. You don't want to hear about snow.
Not good for business.
Tonight's
topic, we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess, Annie and I had done a show on the Morning Blend that we do on Friday mornings, a little bit of this topic, but it'll be great to get your side of things and your look into it. Something on the lines of being lucky and having some skill. What do you think? You think we can work on that possibility?
Yeah, I could think about it. I think we'd come up with a few things on that. I think it's real funny, though, how... I don't know if I should get into it, how they have to copy your morning show for stuff to talk about Thursday. But that's a whole other story we could talk about another time. But, yeah, we could get into that, yeah.
All right. Well let me ask you, how long you been in business?
Well, heck. So the marina, my dad bought it when I was one. So that's 1968. So 69 he bought it. So we're over 45 years. So it's quite a bit of time in the same location, same family, same people, standing behind the counter there. So a long time.
So would you, I would imagine, because I know, you know, I've been in business since I'm 18 years old, and and through the course of my life, a lot of times people have said to me, "Well, you're lucky." have you gotten that line before? That maybe the toys that you have, and the vehicles you drive, and the home that you live in, and the trips that you take, has all come from luck?
Yeah, you know, that's generally, I hate to say it, but you know that's usually the jealous ones right off the bat, Tom. They look at you and they look at life and they think right away, it just happened, right? You just happened to be on a street corner and someone came by and said, "Hey, I got a great idea." And all you got to do is just say yes and we'll make a lot of money. Nobody sees the behind-the-scenes action. And it's not luck that we're successful and we've done what we've done because, you know, they don't think about and they don't know the failures and the struggles we've been through to get to those what they want to call lucky spots. I mean, you know as well as I do. You get what you could into it, and sometimes you could put a lot into something and get nothing. And then there's other times you put your heart and soul into it, and it really pays off. And what are we always shooting for? We're looking for the ones that pay off, right?
Absolutely. So through the course of your life, you've had some hard times, right? In business, you've had some you've made some mistakes. I'm assuming you've made some bad investments. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, Tom, more than I'd like to talk about at times, but it's what's molded and shaped that I've had gone on. I mean, I was one of the few that I started, you know, in the marine industry my whole life being in it. I went out and tried some different things and did some wild stuff with boats and sails, and it paid off real good, and it started rolling real big, real hard with some real big, fast boats and performance stuff. And then right in the midst of it, the economy tanked, and I was sitting with, $4 or $5 million worth of boats. And I don't know about you, but most people in the economy tank, they went, "No, thank you. We don't need to buy anything that's $800,000 right now." They kind of laughed at me.
And $700 to fill the gas tank.
Yeah. So it was that was one that I got hit with. I was also the other one that decided to go from the the theory of stay small and keep it all, and I went and spent a couple of $1 million and bought 3.5 acres of commercial property and put up a huge repair facility and bought racks and forklifts and decided I was going to service my customers better and be the finest and best marina in the area and do everything right at my marina. And as well, when that happened, it was right around the time the economy tanked, and here I am. I could have been in a comfortable position, not worried about anything, but I had extended myself, and I'm proud to say we're getting through it. Didn't sell anything, it wasn't pretty, but we got through it, and we're coming out of it still. But yeah, there's been a few that have been tough, and I'm sure you know about them as well.
Absolutely. I had the conversation actually today. We every month we have a sales meeting and a finance meeting at Florentine, and in the same office we have my off-premise business. So I spent the whole day. In other words, today I actually worked. I spent all day in my office with multiple meetings and my whole team coming in and talking about where we are, where we're going, how the sales were, did we make money and all that. And and we were talking about how, you know, today, and I had envisioned this about 15 years ago, that brides and specifically brides like to buy their product almost, which being the venue, off the internet. So they're judging you as soon as they land on your website. So we're redesigning the website, and they're interested in just emailing and getting a response back versus picking up the phone. So we had a major debate today talking about how when people come to our new website, I want them to put in the request for information, how do you want to be contacted? Do you want to be contacted via email? Do you want to be contacted via phone call? And the reason I'm bringing this up to you is that I keep this to the side of my desk. I have an old PC unit, which I invested about $500,000 years ago on. Today, you know it as opentable.com, you know, where you can make reservations. I had kind of the same similar system that I was doing for the catering industry. And
ahead of the industry.
I was way ahead of my time, lost about $500,000. That's one of many. That's like a little one. But yes, yeah, so you're ahead. Sometimes you're ahead of the curve. Sometimes you're way behind. It's like it's over, it's gone, and you just didn't even realize it. Yeah. And that's what happens in business. But the only way to succeed in business is to continue to try. But trying and learning skills are extremely important. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just look at the industry, and I can't tell you, and I'm sure you've seen this, Tom, that I watch people come in that aren't marina owners and aren't accustomed to the marine industry, and they'll have a bunch of money, and they'll think they're an investor, and they like boats, and that's why it's so popular. They love their boats, and they want to own a marina, and they roll into a town with big money, and they buy out a family-owned operation that's been in business for 30, 40 years or whatever it is, or they open up a new facility, and they dump down millions of dollars, and they put a plan in place, and they buy everything off the internet on how to run a marina, including the Marina Book for Dummies, and they get the whole thing in place, and they set it all up, and it miserably starts to fail, and they can't figure out why, because they don't have the skill set to do that, and they thought because it's their hobby and because they love it that they're going to be good at it. And we both know you just you don't always roll like that. You know what I mean? Just because you love it doesn't mean you're good at it. You know, and there's some obvious things we talk about which we'll keep off the air tonight that you can love but not be good at. You know?
Exactly. Absolutely.
But I've seen it a million times, though. Your skills are what carries you through. You know, the harder you work, the luckier you get is one of the oldest ones that I love to hear. The more you're out there working hard and busting your butt, the luckier you get. Yeah, because you increase your odds of having success in whatever that business venture is. And eventually, I believe you're going to hit on something if you try hard enough and you work at the right stuff.
So Arnold Palmer said, the more I practice, the luckier I get.
That's right.
Think about, you know, people are out there doing it every single day. What we do, you and I do, and, you know, our team does in traditional business, they do it every single day. Mm-hmm. And when you first start out, you're not great at it. And you know what, where I'm going with this, because we always try to find the balance, talk a little bit about personal life and our traditional business, and then how it absolutely mirrors that great profession that we're all involved in, this group called, you know, direct sales or network marketing or MLM or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. So we became underneath the tutelage of Eric Worre, where, you know, he had put out a book, To Go Pro and the 7 Steps to Become a Network Marketing Professional. And I know sometimes, you know, people join your organization, you hand them a book, and you tell them, you need to read this book. You need to understand that this is a business, and you need to be trained on how to do it. Tell me a little bit about, because I know you were somewhat of a disciple. I know you've read the book and the audio and all that stuff. So I'm going to throw it back to you for a little bit.
You know,
I read
the Eric Worre book, and I read it twice. And mm-hmm. what the big thing I could say about just that alone is that I read it twice, because for me, I'm not a big reader. I'm not voracious at it. I don't love to do it. But mm-hmm. I did read it twice, and I read it, and I took it all in. And, you know, there were so many good points in it. But the mm-hmm. basics to it to me was that I kept reading over the idea, and I can't bring word for word what it was, John, but what I'll tell you is that you have to go out, and he had plans and ideas in the way you're going to go out and go after what you're doing. There's a 90-day plan. There's a 30-day plan. He had all these things laid out systematically. And what mm-hmm. struck me was it was the same way I knew that when March comes in my marina, I know I have to be geared up and getting boats in the water. Even if the customers haven't called yet, I know the ones that are going to go in, I've got to be getting ready. And it's the same thing when it comes to our MLM or our network marketing businesses. If you can predict or forecast what's mm-hmm. going on and prepare yourself, and make sure you're always sharpening your skills to be ready for what's going on. That's what I took the big thing from that. And then on top of that, when I read Eric Worre's book, I really was impressed with the fact that he had so many failures himself to yep. get to where he was. And, sure. you know, I'm not nothing but Jordan Adler, when I read his book, Beach Money, I felt mm-hmm. the same way. Here he was talking about all the different trials and tribulations and how hard he had worked and all the things he said. And I love seeing the fact that so many of us that are successful business people, or dare I say entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. That are out there, we're out there digging, grinding, working. And, you know, I mentioned to, you know, the Dave Wilkerson a few weeks ago, I said, could you imagine if we could find a network marketing or a business that we could build from the ground up, and you could give all the input for what you love and what you really want to see in a business. And mm-hmm. if you can imagine if you could be part of something like that, I said, that's the excitement that drives us, and that's what makes me go to work every day at the marina. That's what mm-hmm. makes me and drives me to build my network marketing company, because I always want to be bettering and one-upping, and I like making money. Let's be real. I mean, no doubt about that.
Well, you can't afford those little toys that I see you playing with unless you're making some money, my friend.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You got to put your time and your effort in. And I always tell people, you know, it's a matter of how hard and how bad do you want something. How hard will you work for something, how bad you want it? And when you achieve certain goals, Tom, you know as well as I do, there becomes a point where toys and things are great and taking care of your family is important, but there becomes a point where you find a balance where you're working on all sides of it, your home life, your play life for yourself, as well as your life with your family, your play life, and then your work life, and then if you have a network marketing business as well, they all have to come into balance in there. And I think, you know, to tell you the truth, talking about luck and skill, there's a little bit of luck finding and having a balance with all that, because they all seem to want you at once. Wouldn't you agree?
All the time. It's just not enough time in a day, week, month, or year.
Yeah.
Let's go down this path. Let's see how we make out. Because, you know, one of the greatest things that I love about this radio show and the ones in the morning is that we absolutely do not prepare. Okay. I don't.
Yeah.
I know you don't. We just wing it. So hopefully
that's right. I love just talking.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to go down this path, and I know you're very intuitive, and you'll follow along. So I'm going to take the 7 skills that Eric put together in network marketing, and mm-hmm. I'll give you the MLM side of it, and then maybe you can mirror it how it's pretty much the same thing on the traditional business side. You up for that?
Yeah, I'll do my best. You know that. And you
great.
And I usually come off good on those same things. So go ahead, hit it up. You tell me what you think. Read it off. Tell me what
all
you
right.
think, and I'll follow up with my part of it.
Great. So the first part is finding prospects, right? So to create a viable direct selling company, I think it's pretty obvious that if you do not find people to actually show them the opportunity, the odds are you're never going to have a business. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And so in a traditional, in a network marketing company, as soon as someone joins the organization, whoever sponsored that person, the first thing they need to do is to get them to make a list, right? And it all starts off with the warm market. So for a beginner, finding prospects is pretty easy because they've never been involved in network marketing, or even if they have, maybe it was a different product or service. So the first thing is make a list. So you make a list of 25, 50, 100 people. That's number one. How does that compare to a traditional business? Is there any difference?
You know, it's the same exact idea. You start out in a new business, and it's funny because I had mentioned this recently talking on one of the morning shows that I did. I said, you know, when you start out in a traditional business, no difference. You're going to go to your friends and family, your warm market, and you're going to ask them to come and patronize your business. If you're a gas station, a deli, a marina, a catering hall, you're going to ask them to come try your product or service, and you're going to ask them to give that business to you, and you're going to try to take care of them and hopefully offer them something better or priced better or whatever it may be. But you're going to ask your warm market. You're going to look for the people you know to support you. That's what you're going to look for. And you're going to ask them to spread the word. Tell people that you started something new. You're not going to go out there and keep your mouth shut. Or, well, if you do, you're not going to be successful. That's for sure.
You're not going to make any money. And then the second skill is to invite them to your product or opportunity, which is you have to get them to either take a look at some type of material that explains exactly what you do and or let them sample whatever product you have for them to either see what it tastes like or, you know, find out what this product does. Mm-hmm. So the next biggest skill after finding prospects is inviting them, right? So if you were opening up a brand new marina or a pizzeria, you'd probably do what? Have an open house.
No doubt. That's what you do. Yeah, that's what you do. That's what we did. We just had that huge one 2 weeks long, last week of February into March, and it was all about inviting people over. It was free. We had food, drinks, hanging out, and showing people boats, getting ready for the season, families getting together. But that's exactly what it was about, our open house, same thing.
So you actually do that every year, correct?
Absolutely, every single year.
Okay, so your open house is like someone just launching their new network marketing business, having an in-home presentation, and inviting them to come over. And you do it every year to basically a rebirth for your new season.
Sure. It's the way to get things going. No different than, I'll jump on the network marketing for a second, how we do a grand opening for the business, and then we want to make sure if someone didn't see it, because not everybody's going to come the first time right away, maybe you've got to have two or three of them with different people to get everybody you know over for that grand opening. They may not all make it that first night. You know how skeptical people are to come take a look at something. And it might take a couple to do it. So, and doing it every year, new friends, new family, new people that are interested or lives are changing, not a bad idea, in my opinion.
Now, you know, this is a very, very light overview because there are skills on how to invite someone. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sometimes the invitation is just as simple as saying, Charlie, I'm extremely excited about this new opportunity that I started. I'm having a little get-together at my house. I'd like to invite you over to take a look at it. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, sometimes people get very skeptical. And, you know, unless you've lived under a rock, a lot of times that invitation just smells of network marketing, right?
Sure. Sends up a few red flags, without a doubt.
So I do recommend to the listeners, you know, in a traditional business, you know, for some reason, if you're opening up a pizzeria and you call up your friends and family and say, hey, I'm opening up a pizzeria and we're having a grand opening and I'm serving free food this Saturday at 4 o'clock, it's a lot easier to get people to come than when you'd call someone and say, I'm extremely excited about something. I need you to come take a look. So there are skills, direct, indirect, super indirect, on how to invite people to take a look. So I recommend, and this is not to sell the book, you can find a lot of, I always say this, you can find all this information online. Sorry, Eric, I bought a lot of your books and gave a lot away, so I can give this information out this way. So invite them. The next thing is to present your product or service, right? And in network marketing, you know, and Eric says it best, if your lips are moving, you're either pointing introducing or telling a story. You're mm-hmm. not, you and I are not the presentation. It's the third party tool. You're sending them to either a website, a DVD, an audio, you know, anything, a live business presentation, anything that it's not you personally doing the presentation. How does that equate to traditional business?
Well, so there's a couple of different ways I'm going to say that that works. So first off, the skills, like you said, can differ a little bit. But one of the ways I use that, and I'll use my marina as a regular, as my comparison for it. A lot mm-hmm. of times what I'll do is when people want to talk about, they want to see what it is we're doing at the marina, let's just say. What's mm-hmm. so important that we're going to come down for this open house? And I say, you know, it's not about me. But, you know, the people on the other docks are going to be here. You really should meet the Tartaglias, or you should meet the Healy's, because, you know, they've got a family like yours and they're on the lake. They just happen to be on the other dock, but you guys would really get along. It would be a great thing. Or last year when we had the open house, you know, some of the people that came down, they realized that they were using the boat and they didn't realize they needed to have a booster ball in their tube online to keep the front of the tube from going underwater. And it just kind of came up in conversation. So it's great information you could get. You should be here just to meet these people and see what's going on. It's just a nice way where I'm not even telling it's about me. It's about
right.
them. It's about coming by and just seeing. And, Tom, one of the things I love to say with network marketing, when I would invite people to come take a look, if I say to someone, I need you to take a look at what I'm doing, I love to tell people, leave your checkbook and your credit cards home. I don't want anything from you except just some time. Just come take a look. I need a favor if you could come take a look at what I'm doing. It's such a little of
a great invitation. That's a great invitation.
And it just makes people feel like, oh, okay, all right, no problem at all. And that's one of those things I learned from the marina. When someone was really interested in the boat and they were on the fence, instead of giving a hard sell, Tom, I would say to them all the time, I'd go, you know what? I don't have anybody on this boat right now. I don't need a deposit. I don't need anything. Let me take your name and your phone number. Go home and think about it. If
yep.
someone happens to come in that wants the boat, I will tell them I have someone interested, and I will give you the courtesy of the first right to buy the boat, but I won't sell it off from underneath you, and I don't want any money. That sense of confidence and that sense of belief in someone and using the idea of giving them some comfort with it really, really goes a long way, just like saying to them, leave your checkbook and your credit card home, really makes people feel comfortable.
We just had that talk in our sales meeting today. We have a tentative hold policy, 5 days, and
mm-hmm.
basically first right of refusal. If you'd like me to hold the date, I'll put it in. Just understand that if you're in the parking lot, you leave this office, you get into the parking lot, and somebody calls me and says, I want the date, I make one phone call to you. If I can't reach you, I'm selling the date. But meanwhile, they're walking away saying, okay, the date is being held. I got 5 days to clear my head, figure out what
right.
I want to do, go look at a few more places. So that hard sell sometimes turns a lot of people off.
I agree, buddy.
So, and then coming up with following up with your prospects or following up with your customers, right? Following
mm-hmm.
up with prospects, it's important to call them up and find out what they're thinking. And we all know a lot of times people look at an opportunity and then they go home to their wives, you know, significant others, whatever. And then they unfortunately get taken out of the whole game. They saw a professional presentation and now they try to become the presentation. And they go to their significant other, and they said, you're nuts. So, we're just going over the top here. It's a very light conversation. We could be here for hours and hours and hours talking about the
sure.
real skills. But
mm-hmm.
this is a skill, how to follow up. And I'm sure when you show a boat, I'm sure there's a follow-up process. Would you agree?
Yeah, we do the same thing. As a matter of fact, anything at the marina, if someone calls, looks, or shows interest, we basically have a notepad that we keep any kind of deals down, whether it's a new or a used boat or even a slip. And we go ahead and we write their information down. And I'm a big believer that I am not one of those people that calls someone 50 times and pushes. I'll give them a day or two, and then I'll ring them back and say, hey, I just wanted to follow up, make sure you knew I was still thinking about you, had your number, any questions I could answer. If it helps you get in, is there anything I could do to help you get a little bit closer to making a decision? Please let me know. No big deal. If not, if you want to come take a look at the boat, I'm here anytime. You can come by, take a look around, see the marina. I kind of leave it real open, but I follow up constantly. And our marina we're not overly pushy, but we make sure people know we didn't forget about them.
That's great. Now, I always used to say this to my employees, my team, my sales team. I'd say, please do not do this without parental supervision, that being me. I, on the other hand, would always tell my customers when I was actively selling, mm-hmm. I would, at the end of my converse, my presentation, I would say to them, have I done a good job explaining and showing you what we have to offer? And are there any other questions? And from there, I would say, please do not take this the wrong way, but I hate salespeople. So I will not call you back ever again. So I will put you on hold at the end of 5 days. If you don't call me, I'm automatically taking you off hold. So I'd always put them, I always put the ball in their court to say, I'm honest, not because I don't need your business, or I would make it very understood, I don't mm-hmm. want to bother you. If I've given you all the, and you're always welcome to call me to get more information from me, but I am yep. not going to solicit you to close you. So that was my takeaway. That was always the you know, if you want it, I'm here. All right. So I think we're good with that. And then, yep. then the next skill is to help them to become customers or distributors. So, you know, if my customer wants to become I'll let you do that part. But if someone wants to become a customer of mine, in network marketing, you have to help them, right? You make them a customer. If somebody wants to mm-hmm. become a distributor, you need to teach them how to launch their business. So quite mm-hmm. similar to a traditional business, right? If someone buys a boat, you what do?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, when someone comes into the marina, we set them up so that they're going to have the most enjoyable experience they can. And just with any business, that's what you should be doing. You should be helping them and walking them through it the same way. You know, I have maps in for the marina. It's a small area, but where you should park, where you should unload your stuff. I teach people. They get a welcome packet when they come in. They know the phone numbers to call. We spend the time to get them acclimated and set up so that they're comfortable using the marina, so they want to be there. And the more they want to be there, the more they talk about it, the more they share about it. And the more they do that, the more successful we become. And just like you said with network marketing, if someone's going to be a customer, we want to set them up, show them how to use it, what to do. And if they're going to be a distributor for whatever the business is, we want to make sure that they're set up and they have the right skills as well to do it, get them on the right trainings or webinars or whatever it takes to go ahead and get them in the right position. Yeah.
So you basically set them up for success.
It's the only way to do it, Tom. You know that, buddy. That's a big deal, no matter whether it's a customer or a distributor.
So if they decide not to take that path and do it their own way, it's up to them. Agreed? You can't force them.
There's no doubt. Tom, let me tell you, I'm laughing right now, and I'm really giggling a little bit here because you and I both know hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of people have mm-hmm. joined our network marketing business, have come mm-hmm. in, told us that they were going to be superstars,
right.
told us how we were doing it wrong, what
yep.
we should be doing, what mm-hmm. should be better, and we
yep.
watched them go out there, and almost every single one of them, I say almost because there are an exception here or there, have
yep.
failed because they won't get on the basics and they won't do it. And I have to tell you, the people at my marina that buck the system, that don't know that the loading zone is right in the front, you know what they never get? They never get the kids pulling up. When they pull up with their car, they don't get the kids unloading their coolers and their bags and carrying all their stuff to their car. They don't get that because the loading zone is where you do that. You know, they don't get it. When you buck the system, you don't get it.
There's a consequence, right? There's always
yeah.
there's a cause and effect to everything we do in life.
No doubt. Yep.
We got two left. Okay. So I think we kind of went over that. Get customers and distributors. It says help them get started right. You know, we know that,
set
right?
Them up
that's
for
the same thing.
Set them up
set
for success.
Success.
Yeah.
Point them to the tools. Explain to them who the leaders are. Get them. You know, to understand how important it is to attend meetings and be on webinars and conference calls and reading the materials and learning about the product, but not become the expert of the product until they become the validation of the business, where as they grow and they become leaders, then there that skill is needed to help somebody else on the team. But in the beginning, you're not the information. You're just a conduit to get someone to look at the information.
Couldn't have said it better. Perfect.
And then the last thing, which I think is extremely, extremely important, is helping to grow your team is to promote events. It is an absolute fact that all network marketing companies and every industry that I've ever been involved in, everybody has some type of event that is like-minded people coming together to share ideas and new products and new services or whatever it might be. So one thing that I've heard over the years, because it's 4 years we've been in network marketing, is people, it's one of those things to go drink the Kool-Aid. Well, you know, if you're a police officer and you have a get-together every year down in Atlantic City, what do? You drinking a Kool-Aid down there? If you're a teacher, you go down and you're drinking a Kool-Aid down there. And if you work for a technology company, you're drinking a Kool-Aid down there. So no matter what it is, I'll say it again, promoting events is what really makes money. And maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that, on why it makes money. What happens at these events?
Well, so there's no doubt that when you join, I'm going to speak specifically, Tom, on this one about network marketing, because I think that's where the focus should be on this. So when you join a network marketing company, thank goodness that in this country right now, you're a minority when you dive into a network marketing company and you actually decide to invest not just the money but your time. You're in the minority. So that's where these ideas of drinking the Kool-Aid, joining a cult, and all that stuff come into place. And I can say that just as soon, because when I was asked to look at 5 million different things throughout the years, and I only decided 5.5 years ago or 6 years ago to join when I finally did to my last company, what I would tell you is that you're in such a minority, people don't understand what it is. And just like you said, national conventions are something that businesses or industries do to bring like-minded people together to talk about that industry or that business. And in network marketing, it's generally the business model itself is not being generic and bringing everybody together. The company is bringing together all the like-minded people, and it's saying to them, listen, here's what we have going on. Get in here, be a part of it. They do all sorts of promotions and giveaways and exciting things like that, 100% for sure. But what's more powerful and why it makes so much money is that you get to see successful people. You get to learn what works, what doesn't work. You get to position yourself to know where you want to go, and you get to see the people that have a system or a style that would work for you, and you could follow that. And it also, it brings your spirits up, because now you're not the minority anymore like you are back home. You're with the mass of the people when you go to lunch or dinner or breakfast, and the talk is about the same thing. And you know what it says to you? Boy, I'm not crazy. This is a great deal. This is incredible. And it learns to make you more comfortable when other people say, yeah, when I asked my father to be my customer, or when I asked my neighbor to try my product, or when I told this person about that, they laughed at me. They told me I was crazy. You don't feel isolated and like the minority. You realize other people went through that. And those people at the convention, a lot of them are going to tell you that they were successful after that happened. And that's a great way to feel it. And it drives you to build a bigger business, because even if you're brand new or you've been going for a while, it makes you go to the next level, to take it up a notch, because you're of the excitement of what's going on. But as well as taking it up a notch and going to the next level, it prepares you for other people that join your business to go ahead and to say, I met someone like that. And like you got back to earlier, telling a story, you can say, you know, when I was at the national convention, which, by the way, next year, you're going to have to be there. It was incredible. But I met this guy. I met this guy that was a businessman that decided he had to do this company, and he joined, and he became successful. But it's funny. He told me the same thing happened to him, and he felt the same exact way. But what he found was that if he did this, this, or this, he was successful. The old feel, felt, and found. So what I can tell you is that for me, we know that anytime you can get a group of people together, especially when it's working in one business model, or even better, it's a company, there's bound to be success, which generates money because of the excitement, the knowledge, and the power that comes from that group being together. And that's my take on it, Tom. That's what I think.
Absolutely. So your level of belief just comes alive. You start to believe it's a lot bigger than you are. You know, Charlie, I just got a message coming across that there's a special announcement coming on. So
let me
break away for the special announcement.
Okay, sure. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do it as the real loud, like hot news, except this is really great because this is Dave Wilkerson, and I'm a listener tonight. It was fun just listening to you guys. But our other listener tonight is Bob Granger, who just about an hour ago became a grandfather for Jake and Erica Granger. Just had a baby girl, 6 pounds, 6 ounces, Caroline. So congratulations to our fellow black sheep. You have no idea what it's like to have a granddaughter. You've had all grandsons. It's going to be different. So you guys, thanks for letting me break in. Just want to make sure that Bob got to hear from all of us. You're doing a great job with the show, and I'll hear you at the close.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
that
Dave. Congratulations there, Grandpa Bob Granger. Yeah, having girls are definitely different than having boys, and I'm sure looking forward for the day. My daughter just got married in past September, so I pray every day that I get that phone call that says, it's on its way. And, you know, 51, almost 52 years old, it'd be great to be a young grandparent. So God bless.
Really enjoy
and
it all.
Great success. Yeah. Charlie, you want to give your wishes?
Yeah. God bless the whole, you know, honestly, the whole Granger family, everybody involved, they deserve it. There's a good man right there, Bob, and he teaches some real good morals, ethics, and he keeps his family together. You can talk about a matriarch of the family and someone you can look up to. And congrats, Bob, and we're proud to call you a friend and happy and excited for you and your family. So that's good stuff. It's great news to hear, especially on a Thursday night during when this show would normally be going on. That's great.
Absolutely. You know, I really like doing these evening shows because the choice of beverage is a lot different than the Friday morning show. So
I agree. I try not to clink my glass too much when I put it up by the microphone.
Anyway, well, you know, I think we did somewhat of a fine job talking about the skills and kind of wrapping it, you know, together with from network marketing to traditional business. I'd like to do now, Charlie, why don't you just, I know we have different listeners on Thursday evening from the morning show. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and just talk about your show and maybe you can talk about Bob's show a little bit and I'll talk about Dave's and I'll talk about ours. How's that?
Okay. Sounds perfect, man. Well, you know, first off, the exciting thing, and I know you feel the same way, is that we're lucky enough and blessed enough to have this platform to do this. None of us get paid to do it. We do it because we love what we're doing, helping people and trying to make a difference. And we hope every week that we can do that. And my morning show is on Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m., and it's called The America I See. And I started the idea of it, talking with the network about it, because I love America. I love our country. I'm very patriotic. I love what's going – I love to see what's going on the good side of it. But more importantly, I felt I could have a positive impact on America. And this radio station is a voice to be heard besides me standing in my marina or at a convention speaking in front of thousands of people. This is a fabulous way for me to get the word out of what I feel. Now, if you don't agree with it, I'm sorry, but it's how I feel. And I just love the country and like to talk about it and like to tell people how great it is and what we need to do to bring it back to what I believe the best times ever, years and years ago, when we were building and growing and when our country was more unified. And that's what I'm hoping to bring time and effort into. And I do talk a little bit about business and network marketing, and I talk a little bit about life's stories and things that go on. I just kind of throw it all in the mix there. But I really talk about what's happening in this great country on the positive side and what I've seen. And I also do a quote every single week. I try to pull an inspirational quote off the internet or someone emails me. And I take a quote, and I kind of break it down. I don't get too in-depth, but I kind of read it and make you take a minute and think about it, because a lot of times we see those great inspirational quotes. We read them quickly in our day-to-day lives when we're busy. And then you kind of pass by it and you forget about it. The Tuesday mornings, I try to make it stick a little bit more. Now, rock and roll with Bob Granger, let me tell you, it's the fun, exciting, good-time show on Monday mornings. It's a great show. But, you know, what Bob brings to the table is that he is a teacher. He teaches, but you don't feel like you're in class. You see, he brings up information, and he just starts to let it flow, and you just start to take it in. You know, I've started and implemented a few things in my household based off of Bob's morning show, between reading in the morning and at night with my family, how we look at things, how we go ahead and we reward people, talking about Christmas, how we give things and do things and transfer on traditions. I can go on and on about the stuff that I've learned from him. But he's a master of teaching and showing you things, and you really don't even realize it until you're over and you go, wow, I just learned a whole bunch, and I enjoyed it and didn't realize I was being taught at the same time. So Bob Granger's Rock and Roll with Bob Granger is just a great way to learn without being realized that you're teaching. I mean, you're being taught to. It's a fabulous way. And that's the best way for me to say it. He really, really talks about life and business and implementing things into your day-to-day life that are making it better. And I almost want to say, not powerful, but, oh, you know, making your life more fulfilling is one of the ways with it. That's kind of my take on those two shows. You fill on you and Dave.
All right. That's great. Great job on that. Love your show. Love Bob's show. You know, it's tough to listen to all of them, but what I like to do is, you know, sometimes I collect them, you know, I go into my podcast, and then I'll take a couple hours and I'll go through them. And that's like when I want to just kick back and relax. And, you know, listen, between the two of those guys, there's a lot of experience. I'm not going to say there's also a lot of years of experience, but there's a lot of experience. And one of the great things that I always say about my brother from another mother is that he's extremely stealthy, and had the pleasure of working with Dave now for 4 years. And he does the show on Wednesdays, Bits and Pieces. And it's what it is. He's you know, he's kind of that guy that he's a dripper. He does exactly what you're saying. He taught myself and Annie so much without ever saying, this is what you have to do, or don't forget to do this. And if you want to be successful, and never bullied you to believe to make money in this profession, basically bullying you. So the beauty of him, you know, actually, I always laugh because I have an attorney that I always called my brother from another mother, and I don't say that about many, and there's two really. And these two guys remind me so much of, like, if you push my attorney, if you start emailing him and texting him and calling him, you will get absolutely nowhere with him. Dave's the same way. Dave works at his pace. And if you like it, great. And if you don't like it, your problem. And that's what I love about him. He could care less who you are, how much money you make, whatever your problem is. It's his pace. If you don't like it, lump it. There's no other way to put it. And he does such a great job on that show and those bits and pieces that sometimes, you know, he would say to me, right now you're going to listen to something. It's not going to mean anything, but in 6 months it will. And he was right. He was absolutely right. So he's been one of the stealthiest people that have impacted my life in so many positive ways. And I think he's absolutely amazing. Love you, Dave. Love you, Bob. Love you, Charlie, too. And, of course, my wife and I love Annie. She actually has taught me a lot in life. I've learned a lot. But Friday mornings, you know, we just bring the same kind of thing, you know, professional business people, some me on the entrepreneurial side, my wife on corporate. Now she's become an entrepreneur also, taking this wonderful professional network marketing, marrying it to some of our skills that we've had in life already, and understanding it. Sometimes what we did, sometimes what you do in your traditional business doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work in network marketing and vice versa. But we have a great time, and, you know, we sip a cup of coffee and we just talk about some stuff that's gone on in our life for the day, for the week, for the month. And, you know, I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow morning, but we'll figure it out. We'll always come up with some topic. So, but
that's
anyway, so
good.
Charlie, I think we did the best we could possibly do for our skill sets tonight. We absolutely it was an honor and a pleasure to be with you, and obviously to fill in those two big shoes there, those guys. Again, Bob Granger, to the Granger family, God bless. Good luck with the baby. Dave, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it. And Charlie, I'm going to let you sign off because I'm done. Charlie?
Thanks, Tom. Once again, great, great night. I always enjoy being with you, whether it's in person or on the radio. We just have a good time together. Thanks for everything you bring to the table, being my friend. And thanks to Two Black Sheep Radio. Make sure you get on. I tell everybody, all the listeners, twoblacksheepradio.com. Download the app. All the different calls that they've had, all the different shows that are all on iTunes, so you can pick up on that. Bob Granger, your whole family, God bless, same thing. Just enjoy, have great times with it. Good night, everybody. That's it for us, and we will see you, Tom and Annie, you tomorrow morning. I'll be listening in, and next week for everybody else in the new shows. Have a good night, everybody.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining Charlie and Tom tonight. Make sure you tune into their morning shows. As you can tell, they're always a lot of fun. And when I put them together, We never really know what to expect, but both Bob and I needed a little bit of a break tonight, and they were glad to step up to the plate and take good care of us and take care of all of you, our listeners, as well. So make sure you tune in, though, because we got some great things coming up in the next few weeks. I wasn't able to do my show this week, but I will be back next Wednesday. Looking forward to that for sure. Monday morning with Bob Granger and his Rock and Roll with Grange. And then Tuesday morning with patriotic Charlie Melcher. You heard half of him tonight. Well, not really half of him. You heard the whole of him, but he was half. Never mind. Okay. But you want to go and listen to the America I See every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. And then Wednesday, I'll be back with my show, Bits and Pieces. Wasn't able to do it this last week. I'm feeling better now, so hopefully I'll have a good topic. And then, of course, we go back to Two Black Sheep Radio on Thursday night. And then Friday morning, of course, we have the Morning Blend with Tom and Annie Diadone. And you heard Tom and some of his humor tonight. Wait till you hear him when he's talking with his wife on a first thing in a Friday morning. It's a great way to start off your week. So from all of us here at Two Black Sheep Radio and all the morning shows, we just want you to remember this, that being a black sheep, not a bad thing. It just makes us all a little bit more unique. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.